Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Trust excellence built on 40 years of experience. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more about the Zurich Master Trust.
Now, migrants who commit a serious crime, even those who've been granted asylum, should be deported, according to a Fianna Fáil policy document on migration, which also sets out the need to bring an end to tent encampments. To discuss this further, we're joined by Fianna Fáil TD and Justice spokesperson Jim O'Callaghan and Dr. Ciara Smith from the Irish Centre for Human Rights in the University of Galway, and you're both very welcome to the programme this evening. Jim, I might come to yourself first, because Gardaí have told this programme in the past that there's been no need for increased policing presence in any area due to asylum seekers, and the Department of Justice has said that there's no evidence of any link between the number of asylum seekers and any increase in crime. So why make specific proposals for a problem that doesn't seem to exist?
Because that's one of what are 18 recommendations, Sarah, in a document that my colleague John Lahart prepared as a result of discussions within the Fianna Fáil parliamentary party. And I think it's unfair on your listeners if I don't be able to give them the context of how this document arose. Last month, the Fianna Fáil parliamentary party had a series of special meetings about the growth of immigration as an issue throughout the country, see how we'd respond to legitimate issues of concern being expressed. Now, of course, one option was to simply do nothing, to ignore it. That was unanimously rejected. But the alternative was to listen to the concerns of the public as expressed to Fianna Fáil TDs and senators, and then try to engage with the issue. And what John Lahart did was he went and spoke to each of the TDs and senators. He has produced a document that contains 18 recommendations. I would have thought the least significant one is the one you've highlighted and the one you want to talk about it. But just in terms of, before we get to the one about the crime, like, some of the recommendations were what I've spoken to you about before in this programme, that Ireland should be adding to the list of safe countries under Section 72 of the International Protection Act, that we should be increasing fines on airlines and ferry companies, that we should be enforcing the law as it exists at present. For instance, Section 11 of the Immigration Act, it's an offence for a non-national arriving at state not to have a passport or other equivalent documentation. For years we weren't prosecuting that. We're now beginning to do it again.
Okay.
One of the recommendations put forward by members of the Fianna Fáil Parliamentary Party was that any international protection applicant who's convicted of a serious crime in Ireland should have their application refused and should be deported.
Okay.
I fully recognise that that is a very small number of individuals, but there was an issue that was raised with John Lahart by a number of members of the parliamentary party, and that's why he included it.
And how small a number of individuals?
Well, unfortunately, and as a result of questions being put to the Minister for Justice, we do not keep data in terms of the number of international protection applicants who have been convicted or have a criminal record gained abroad or in Ireland. That data isn't available. Questions were put down to the Minister for Justice in respect of it, and she said we don't keep that data.
Okay. But we do know the Department of Justice has said there's no evidence of any link between the number of asylum seekers and an increase in crime. So
I fully accept that. But the purpose of the document that John Lahart compiled was so that the Fianna Fáil Parliamentary Party could be apprised of what were the concerns of members of the public coming back. Like, simply because these are the recommendations.
Just because somebody has a concern doesn't mean you draw up a policy document to address what might be an unfounded concern.
Well, these are issues that were raised by members of the public,
yeah,
with Fianna Fáil TDs and senators. They were brought to the attention of John Lahart. He included it as one of the recommendations in his report. And I would have thought most reasonable people would have thought that in the very small number of cases where an international protection applicant may be convicted of a serious criminal offence in Ireland, that in that instance,
okay,
the person should have their application refused.
Okay,
like, I would have thought that's a reasonable recommendation.
Well, and I'll ask Dr. Ciara Smith what she thinks in just a second, but just in terms of the detail, because you're being very specific there in the detail, an international protection applicant. So are you saying this would only apply if you're an applicant rather,
yes,
than if you've been granted leave? Because I know Lisa Chambers suggested that it could be applied to people who've been granted refugee status.
Well, that becomes, as Ciara O'Dowd will be able to tell your listeners, becomes very legally complicated, because there's a prohibition on refoulement, which means you cannot send people back to areas where we've stated they have been subjected to persecution. So that gets more difficult.
Okay, so why did Lisa Chambers say that? I'll give you the quote that she said. Anybody that comes into this country, whether they're seeking asylum or have been granted refugee status, if you break the law, you need to be sent back.
Well, I suspect she was probably referring to Section 3 of the Immigration Act 1999, where the minister has the power to deport a non-national person who's serving a term of imprisonment in Ireland. And if you look at it, between 2019 and 2021, 140 EU citizens were deported from Ireland because of serious crimes they committed here. But obviously the situation is more complicated and more difficult where you have a person here who has been granted international protection. They then can't be sent back to the country from where they came. And the issue is if they were going to be served...
Lisa Chambers is wrong suggesting they would need to be sent back.
Listen, you asked me to come on and talk about John Lahart's document.
Well, yes, I'm here but talking she's about another John colleague of yours who was speaking at the Fianna Fáil Ardéis in relation to this particular document, and that's one of the things that she said. So I'm just trying to get clarity on what exactly is being proposed here.
The document is clear. It's in respect of applicants. Any international protection applicant who's convicted of a serious crime in Ireland, we say should have their application refused.
All right. Well,
I think that's a perfectly reasonable proposal.
Dr. Ciara Smith, and thank you for joining us also. It's a perfectly reasonable proposal, says Jim O'Callaghan, and he thinks most reasonable people would agree.
Well, there's nothing new in this proposal. In fact, if somebody, if an asylum seeker were to commit a crime while awaiting a decision in Ireland, you know, they would be charged. If it was a violent crime, they would be remanded in custody and then it would go for trial. And in the meantime, their asylum claim would be processed and either they'd be recognised as a refugee, in which case they could later be excluded, as Jim has already pointed out. Notwithstanding the fact that they're a refugee, there is an exception to the non-refoulement guarantee, which is the guarantee that prevents somebody from being sent back to a country where their life or liberty would be at threat. So either they'd be recognised as a refugee in the meantime, or else their asylum claim would be rejected, in which case, as part of the criminal sanction, they would be subject to a deportation order. So, in fact, this is a bit of a non-issue. There's nothing new here. There's nothing we don't already have. And secondly, I would reiterate a point that you made already, Sarah, about the fact that this just encourages people to associate asylum seekers with criminality. And there's no evidence, in fact, that this is the case. Indeed, Drew Harris, a couple of months ago, I remember saying, could see no correlation between asylum and criminality. And indeed, the numbers of asylum seekers committing crimes was about the same as the ordinary population. So, you know, I wonder about the sense of developing a policy document off the concerns of members of the public when the members of the public have been encouraged to have a number of anxieties about asylum seekers and the criminality being one of them, and then devising a policy document on the back of that. It doesn't seem to make a lot of sense to me, and it doesn't seem to be evidence-based policy making.
Jim?
Well, it's difficult for Ciara and for yourself to assess this issue in its full, because in fairness to you, you don't have access to the policy document which has been provided to members of the Fianna Fáil Parliamentary Party. It contains a whole series of issues. And I know from being at the Fianna Fáil Parliamentary Party meetings that the real issue of concern here is not to do with people seeking international protection who may be involved in criminality. The real issue of concern is the very significant increase in numbers that have taken place coming in seeking international protection.
And can I get onto that in a second? But just, you're saying there's 18 proposals. If you chose, if Fianna Fáil chose to make one of them about a problem that hasn't been proven to exist, Dr. Ciara Smith is saying that in her view, you run the risk there of linking in people's minds asylum seekers with crime by putting in place a policy that says you will deport asylum seekers who commit crimes.
I don't agree with you. And I think if we shy away from discussing issues because we think that they may be provocative, then we're really doing a disservice to the centre ground of politics. The policy is that any international protection applicant who's convicted of a serious crime, and that's obviously somebody convicted of a crime
in
Ireland. Pardon?
Is it provocative or is it a dog whistle?
It's not a dog whistle. It is a recommendation. And if you're not, like, I would much prefer if we could just discuss the other issues. Like, the issues that have really arisen in the discussion is the fact that if you look at the numbers seeking international protection in Ireland since 2019, there has been a very significant increase. Mm. And that is what is putting significant pressures on providing accommodation for people who are coming in seeking international protection. And the government, Sarah? The government, in fairness, is making endless efforts to provide further other levels of accommodation. But like in 2019, 4,700 people looked for international protection. In 22 and 23, it was 13,500.
Sure.
Already this year, in the first 3 months, it's 5,000.
Jim O'Callaghan, we covered that on this programme last week, and it went up by 72% in the first 3 months of the year.
I know.
This year.
So
we covered that in this programme. But actually, the point I want to put to you is that in that context, when there is that sort of pressure on our international protection asylum system, when there's that sort of pressure on our housing system, when we are getting a big increase in migrants, is it not behoving on one of the government parties to be responsible in policies that you put forward, to not put forward policies that could link migrants with crime when there's no evidence that migrants lead to greater crime?
It is one of 18 recommendations. As I said to you before, I think it is probably the least significant of the recommendations that have been put forward. But is he simply not to include it? It's an issue of concern that has been brought to his attention by members of the Fianna Fáil Parliamentary Party. And I think he would be doing a disservice if he decided that he was going to censor or edit the issues of concern that were brought to his attention by members of the Parliamentary Party.
All right.
Party.
And Dr. Keir Smith, do you accept that John Lahart would have been doing a disservice to just ignore those concerns?
Well, I mean, I can see that this issue could have interesting political leverage for Fianna Fáil, particularly in a context where, for example, Sinn Féin is making a move to the right on the immigration issue. But I think we need to balance it against what's at stake here and who's likely to lose from this rhetoric. And that's the nearly 2,000 homeless asylum seekers who are already in a very vulnerable position. And any suggestion that they are somehow associated with criminality could have very profound repercussions for those people in terms of hate crime and other violence. So I think we need to get into perspective what's important here and the different values that are important.
Jim, can I ask you, of those 18 recommendations then, what is the most significant one in your view?
Well, my view, the most significant one is that we should increase the list of safe countries as we're entitled to do under Section 72. And as I said before, Sarah, like we are making huge efforts to try to provide increased levels of accommodation for people coming in seeking international protection. But at some stage, we have to look at the other end of the equation, which is the very significantly increasing numbers that are coming in on an annual basis.
OK, so, and like if so we increase if we the number of safe countries I know, to allow us to not accept as many as possible. Let me just put that to Ciarán. What do you think of that, Ciarán?
Well, look, there's a number of different types of safe country. Presume that Jim is referring to safe country of origin. So safe country of origin is this idea that asylum seekers are coming from inherently safe countries. And this very often isn't the case. The assessment of in these country assessments is often more based on the fact that these are asylum-producing countries and therefore we want to shut down the stem of asylum seekers from these countries. So that's as far as safe countries of origin go. And just to add that
we do have much less, much fewer though, Ciarán, don't we? In terms of our numbers of safe countries, we have a much shorter list, don't we, than many other countries in the EU?
Well, I think there's about 8 or 9 already on our list. The minister added 2 countries to it recently and signalled last week that she's going to add a further 8 countries to the safe country of origin list. So, you know, that's a significant number of safe country of origins. But, you know, let's be sort of realistic about this. If we look at the numbers, the top countries of origin of asylum seekers, they're not actually from safe countries. They're from countries like Afghanistan and Sudan and Somalia. So these, you know, and Syria. Syria is still, you know, up amongst the top countries of origin for asylum seekers. These countries just can't be designated as safe by any metric. So I'm not sure that designating countries as safe and then fast-tracking the applications of people who come from those countries is really going to make a dent in the large numbers of asylum seekers that are coming here.
Okay, well,
can I just finish my point? Second point about safe country concepts is another kind of related sister of that, which is the safe third country idea, which is that, you know, asylum seekers should be made to claim asylum in the first country that they pass through. And this is very often a non-EU member state. So this would be a country, let's say, in Africa or in the Middle East. And the problem with this is that you are just imposing a disproportionate burden there on countries who are already doing most of the asylum hosting. Meanwhile, the rich countries of the EU are not taking up a proportionate burden of asylum seekers. Okay. And that replicates itself within Europe as well, because of the Dublin regulation.
Okay, Jim.
So it's just deflection. It's just deflecting the problem to somebody else.
One of the benefits of designating more countries as safe countries is that it will expedite the process. And we also see from the data that's there at present that once a country is designated as a safe country, it does reduce the number of people applying for international protection here if that country is designated safe. So like our priority here as well should be trying to focus on the people who are entitled to international protection. And it's worth pointing out that in the month of January just gone, January 2024, only 25% of the applications for international protection that were assessed in January were found to merit international protection. So there's a significant number of people who are delaying the process for the legitimate applicant who's entitled to international protection. And if we don't engage in measures which are lawful and which are provided to us under the Act, we're doing a disservice in the short term to those people who are entitled to it and aren't getting it. And also, I've got to say to you, at some stage, we've got to think and give consideration to people such as my constituents on Mount Street who are faced outside the International Protection Office with a situation where there's a vast encampment of tent cities there. And I know we are all enormously sympathetic to the people who are in the tents claiming international protection.
Okay.
But at some stage, some consideration has to be given to the residents and people who live and work in that area as well.
Yeah, and can I ask you about that finally, Dr. Keira Smith, because we had a resident actually from Mount Street on the programme, I think it was last week, and she was explaining, you know, she has nothing against any of the men who are living in tents on the streets outside her home, but she said it's causing the people who are living there an awful lot of distress and difficulty. You know, something has to be done about that, doesn't it?
Absolutely, something has to be done about that. I couldn't agree more. But what that thing is we need to get real about designing long-term sustainable solutions to the issue of asylum accommodation. So that we won't have to resort to things like tents. I mean, that's nobody's preferred
policy.
But in
the interim, what do you do in the interim, I suppose, is the question.
Yeah, I mean, that is a difficult question, but I think it's important to find, you know, emergency accommodation, to repurpose office blocks. All the things that the government is already talking about doing have to be brought on stream much more quickly.
Okay.
But I just want to come back to that point
looking after
people who are entitled to international protection. And of course, that's an argument for having a manifestly well-founded, you know, stream for people who are clearly entitled to international protection, and I would have no objection to that.
Okay.
But we shouldn't conclude from the fact that the recognition rate is low, that everybody else, so you mentioned the figure of 25%, that doesn't mean that everybody else is bogus or not entitled. It's just, it's also a reflection of the fact that the legal definition of who's entitled to international protection is incredibly narrow.
All right, we have to leave it there, and thank you both very much for joining us. That is Dr. Keira Smith and Fianna Fáil's Jim O'Callaghan.